Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. When investment performance matters, make sure your savings are with Zurich. Visit zurich.ie to find out more.
Now, with over 7,000 people living in direct provision here, and calls this week for the Irish government to provide protection for up to 1,000 refugees fleeing Afghanistan, a new social enterprise in the Midlands says it can offer a ready-made pilot project to improve standards for asylum seekers and end what it calls the scandal of our times. Drive Time's John Cook has been to Portlaoise to find out about a group called Gigeon and joins me now to tell us some more about this pioneering project, John.
Yes, Cormac. Gigeon is the Irish word for shelter and was established about a year and a half ago as a new community-based social care enterprise to change, it says, the face of direct provision in Ireland by offering international protection support services to asylum seekers living in own-door, self-catering, dispersed homes in well-established communities rather than the congregated settings that so many currently live in, like hotels and hostels, as they await sometimes years for decisions on their asylum applications here. And in many ways, this is the type of accommodation and support committed to by the government and Minister Roderick O'Gorman in his white paper published in February of this year, which commits to closing all existing direct provision centres with an anticipated deadline of 2024. In Gigeon's drop-in centre or hub in Portlaoise today, I met its chairman and founder, Edward Dunn, who told me he'd been lucky to do well in business and social enterprises in the past when he set up Nua Healthcare as an alternative to congregated accommodation for people with autism and learning disabilities. He's moved on from that business to this one now and says he's not in it for profit.
For many years I've been involved in philanthropy and sort of different sort of social enterprises, and I've been, as an Irish person, I've been particularly distraught and upset by the experience of people in our country, of children in direct provision, and the idea of the children growing up in hotels and being segregated in Ireland. I think this is the next scandal of our time, and I'm ashamed of it, and I wanted to do something about it.
The model you've developed here in Portlaoise, you're saying, is one that could be replicated in every county in Ireland. So what does it involve? What is your vision?
So basically what our model is that we have currently have 15 houses and apartments of different sizes. They're all spread out across a key geographic location. They're all 1 kilometre from a town. They're not right beside each other. There's no clusters. We have a central drop-in centre in the middle of the town, which is within a short walking distance or a bus journey for all of those people, that they can access the public services. They can have meetings with the various sort of public service bodies that need to meet them while they're seeking international protection. We also have a wraparound social care support, a full assessment upon admission. We develop what we call an individual integration plan.
It sounds expensive.
Services like this are expensive in that they're capital intensive. So to buy like a 50 bed hotel is cheap in comparison to providing 50 beds in normal community settings. But what you have to think about is that the person's journey through care or their experience and how they come out of that at the end of that year period. The vast majority of people come out of congregate settings dependent, institutionalised, not being able to perform as functioning members of society and requiring vast amounts of public services and supports to be able to function. Like in social care services where you invest in people and you provide services in normal community settings, you enable people to integrate fully and to become more independent and become less of a burden on the state at the end. So whilst the cost of capital might be higher in the beginning, the actual long-term support services are significantly cheaper because you're not caring for people for a long period of time. Your duration of stay in the system is way less.
Yeah, that's Ed Dunn, the chairman of Gigeon. So to start with, John, he said he has 15 homes, is that right, ready to house refugees or asylum seekers? Tell me a little bit more about the accommodation on offer.
Yeah, they've bought and refurbished 13 houses and 2 apartments around Portlaoise so far. That could potentially accommodate up to 82 asylum seekers in family units. They've a vision for no more than 200 asylum seekers in this town of around 22,000 people as they acquire more properties. And while I visited many of the controversial or crowded direct provision centres on Drive Time previously in other parts of the country, as well as newer models of own-door accommodation like apartment complexes, they are still in congregated settings. So the big difference here is that these are just ordinary homes scattered around the large multicultural town of Portlaoise, all within walking distance of bus routes, so people can live and access services or shopping or supports independently, like any other residents integrating into a new community. Director of Operations Colleen Wall showed me around one of their very impressive and welcoming properties, a four-bed semi-detached house in a large estate on the outskirts of the town, as she told me why this model could work for other similar locations across Ireland.
Port Leash has 22,000 people in it. You know, there was a study completed recently, late last year, and it was called Building a Community of Belonging. And it is identified in County Leash that there's over 90 different nationalities who live here, who speak over 50 different languages and who practice 22 different religions. Like, it's proven, you know, the County Leash can welcome a multicultural community. And the biggest thing about this is we're not trying to locate 150, 200 people in a small rural village that has little to zero public transport. Like, Port Leash is very accessible. It's got a very good commuter belt to Dublin, to Cork, to Limerick. We've got great transport services in Leash, in Port Leash. Dean wants to integrate people. We don't want to isolate people in the community. We want to integrate them. We want to welcome them. Our staff team, John, will come out and will support residents in their daily life to integrate into the community, whether it be education, employment, training, trying to find local activities or clubs, you know, GAA, hurling, dancing, whatever is in their own interests. And that's a big difference to the current direct provision.
Take a seat at this lovely kitchen table. It seems such a shame not to be using it. I'm blown away by how beautiful this house is and the standard of accommodation and how down to the bedclothes, the towels, the hair dryers and the toys for the kids, everything is laid on here already and waiting to go. And you've 15 of these houses that are lying idle since last year.
Yeah, it's a top class service is what we're providing here. It's very heartbreaking, to be honest. You know, we have them empty in almost a full year now. We're ready. We want to get going. We want to welcome families into Port Leash town. And we're waiting on the green light to do that.
Waiting on the green light, she says. That's Colleen Wall of Deejin. So all of those houses are lying empty, John. It's amazing at a time when so many people are still living in controversial direct provision centres.
Yeah, I couldn't help but think of the waste of a good home lying empty during the housing crisis here, Cormac, when around 7,500 people are living in often controversial direct provision centres or emergency hotel accommodation, and when various human rights agencies even this week are calling on the government to resettle a minimum of 1,000 refugees trying to flee the current turmoil in Afghanistan after initial commitment to offer 150 additional humanitarian visas for Afghans under the Irish Refugee Protection Programme. It's something I was talking about with Lai Ogunsanya. He came to Dublin as a teenager in the year 2000, leaving Nigeria with his mother and his younger sister, whose severe autism left them fearful for her safety and future quality of life, hence their decision to seek asylum in Ireland. They lived in direct provision in a hotel in Dublin before being settled in Dundalk, where his mum trained to be a nurse and provide for her daughter, while Lai now has children of his own in Dublin. He's worked with UNICEF on the front line in humanitarian aid in many places, including Syria and the Mediterranean, before taking on his current role now as chief executive of Deejin, as they try to offer what they're calling a viable solution to replace direct provision. And Lai told me he's disappointed to see so little change in the system since he came through it with his little sister 20 years ago.
Integration is not a loss for anyone. If the government's invests in integration, there's a massive return on investments when you integrate people properly. And that's what all this is about.
20 years ago, it was you and your little sister, I think, and your mom. Do you worry about the children in direct provision now?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, 2000, if I were able to go to university at the year 2001, what difference would that have made to me as a person now? If I lived in a community and an outdoor accommodation, I would have been able to bring my friends back home. We would have been able to watch TV, kick it like every other children are doing. I can watch my mom cook. I can study with friends in my environment. I wouldn't be shy to bring friends back to my environment. There's so many little bits and pieces there and there for a young person and a young individual that just changing and adapting what's there right now would really impact them positively.
We spoke about the thousands of people still awaiting asylum applications here, the people in Afghanistan trying to flee their country now. And we're told in Ireland we will have a better system. Are you hopeful that can happen?
Yes, I am hopeful. A lot of agencies have been working over the past 20 years. The McMahon Report, the Catherine Day Committee, Roderick's White Paper, the Minister for Children's White Paper, Dr. Niall Muldoon's Ombudsman Report on Children. Combining all of this analysis and all of this recommendation, including the IRC's recommendation on what alternative direct provision can look like, and that's the Irish Refugee Council. Combining all of this, I think things can change, but we need the government to please move faster because, as you just mentioned quite rightly, the situation in Afghanistan is kicking off. Ireland, the UN, the United States, everybody needs to do their fair share in terms of resettlements from a global perspective. But locally, we can only do the best we can to ensure people who do arrive here in Ireland are really well taken care of and given a chance to at least make a better life and integrate correctly.
That's Lai Ogunsanya calling for the government to speed up its promised end to the direct provision system he has lived through. So it begs the question, John, I suppose, are the minister and his department aware that all these own-door houses are lying empty in Portlaoise?
Yeah, the group say they've offered the houses to department officials since they were completed last year, but are awaiting a new formal tendering process for the new system of accommodation and supports outlined in the government's white paper. This evening, a spokesperson for Minister Roderick O'Gorman's department told me that work is ongoing to develop a new procurement competition to secure additional accommodation for people seeking international protection, with a request for tender to be published shortly, and it will be open to Gideon and to other potential suppliers to bid for it in the normal way. Well, with these 15 homes lying vacant and ready to go in Portlaoise for almost a year now, I asked Chairman Ed Dunn if he's prepared to wait longer.
Well, look, we have to be real. The reality is, we set a dog-headed sort of social entrepreneur. We set up a service in the belief that we were doing the right thing to show everybody what good looked like. We've done that over the past year. We set up the service. We're available and ready to go in the morning. But unfortunately, we have a significant cash burn. We're an organisation. We have staff and resources, albeit this is a social enterprise. I volunteer in this organisation, but we have staff and employees who are idle at the moment, and we have no immediate visibility on that and that changing. So we will at some stage have to have to move on.
What's your message to government now, or to the Minister for Children and Youth Affairs, those tasked with implementing a replacement for direct provision?
Look, I think we have to motivate change in the sector. We have to motivate social entrepreneurs to come forward and to do things differently. It doesn't need more of the same. It doesn't need more hotels. It doesn't need more accommodation. It needs people with alternative solutions and pilots. So I'm not saying we're the total solution. We're one sum of a part of solutions that could develop out of this over the next couple of years. But we need to motivate people to come forward and stick their neck out and do things differently, of a higher quality, and to provide meaningful solutions that treat people with dignity, respect, and integrate people properly so they can become functional members of society in Ireland.
And that is Ed Dunn, the chairman and founder of the Gideon Housing Support Group, ending John Cook's report from Portlaoise. You can find more information if you want so, such on Gideon, Gidean.ie.